But I don't want to get lost in the details. I think we titled this sermon, "There is No Fear in Love." And that is so absolutely true. And as I was listening to the songs that you were singing, they're so appropriate for today. And I'll get to the situation in a minute. I need to get my grounding as well. But no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That was one of the verses that you sang today. And that was one of the prayers that was prayed that set in motion the healing of my daughter Heather, who sits here with us today. So I just want to quickly just pray, and then we'll get right into it. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share the good news of your love and your grace. And I do pray, Lord, that you heal the heart, the body, the mind, the soul, and the spirit of anyone and everyone who receives this love today. And I pray that in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to try to, I'm aiming this in this direction. Okay. This picture is a little graphic, and I'm just going to quickly go over the situation. On January 18th of this year, about 9 months ago, I received a phone call, the worst phone call of my life. Saying that my daughter had been in an accident, and I heard the words brain damage and trauma and everything all in 10 seconds time. And if I could back up 2 years before that, for whatever reason, and we've learned why on that day, our focus had been on healing, abnormally so. I even questioned the Lord, why are we so focused on healing? Well, on this day, we realized. And I fell to the floor. I was upstairs in my home, and my wife, Lisa, was downstairs. And I turned into a puddle of whatever you could describe it to be and just cried. But that did not last more than 20 seconds. And my wife ran upstairs and pulled me up and said, "This is not the last word." And it's as if it was a wet towel that God just snapped into shape, and I stood up like a soldier, and by the grace of God, in the worst weather of the year, drove to Newark Rutgers Hospital in peace and in joy, if that could possibly be imagined. And I went in, and that's what I saw on the left side. My daughter had been pulled out of a car that had been hit twice, and she was dead. She was not alive. She was dead, and no one knows how long she was dead. They revived her, took her to the hospital. They had to take her head apart. They had to pull her skull off. She had severe brain trauma and severe brain stem trauma. Those are two different things. And the brain stem is more of your basic functions, just walking, talking, thinking, you, that what makes you you. But when I walked into the hospital, I saw her husband, and he was the one who had called me. And I went right up to him, right up to his face, and said, "You will not be losing your wife today." And I knew it was true. And my other daughter, Joy, who was also here, I just saw her kind of walking down a hall with a look of despair. And I walked up to her as well. I said, "You will not be losing your sister today." And as you can see, we didn't. I'm going to quickly go through what happened in these two pictures. The picture to the left was day one. The picture to the right is 7 weeks later when Heather actually went to church. 7 weeks. It's unheard of. And these are just some pictures. And I think you're going to notice through these pictures there's not a face of despair anywhere. We laughed harder and more and had more. The hospital was somewhat annoyed with us because this was supposed to be surgical ICU and brain damage and everything like this. And I'll get back to some details in a minute. I just want to quickly go through some of these things. My girls all shaved their heads so they could share with Heather in her haircut there. This is 1 hour after her second brain surgery to have her skull replaced. 1 hour. That shows the scar on her head. I call this the Gandhi picture. Actually, this is a day after the surgery, and she's just walking down the hall. You know, she's just looking like some spiritual leader and joy following along, not worthy of the baldness that Heather had there quite yet. And so that's what I call that. But this is her husband, Orion. And that's she and I. And that's her today. I don't know how to turn this off. I just wanted to breeze through those. On the first day that this happened, some of the pastors from Heather's church, actually she was just headed to church to go to choir practice. They had shown up, and they're well-known pastors in the community. And I looked at them and I said, as a question and a statement, now, this is something that I believe. You may not, and I'm not here to bend your arm. It's all right. If you don't agree with everything I say, that's completely okay. This is not something that's a source of condemnation. You may feel slightly different. I have some more absolutes than some other people. I needed to. But I looked at them, and I said, this is not God's will, right? And they smiled at me and said, no, this was not God's will. In other words, God didn't do this to my daughter. And I said, with that in mind, the three of us went in and we prayed for Heather. And this is when some amazing things started to happen. And the senior pastor of her church put his hands over her and prayed the very thing you sang this morning. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And that comes out of Isaiah 54. And I highly advise you read Isaiah 54 and 55. It's packed loaded with promises that you can live and walk in. And these were the verses we stood on. But that set in motion, actually my wife saying this is not the last word, set in motion the word of God and the life of God and the promise of God and the peace of God. And when that pastor prayed like that, I remembered it. Now, as I said before, Heather had two forms of brain damage, one here and one here. They're both bad, but this one would have left her a vegetable for the rest of her life. A nurse came out and said, this is not good. She's going to be in a coma. She was in a non-responsive coma. They said, if she wakes up, and that was a big, big if. They thought she was going to die. If she wakes up, you will be in this hospital ward for at least 6 months to a year. Minimum. They said, get used to it. This is where you're going to live. And it's as if we couldn't hear those words. It just, believe it or not, never entered into my heart. Not for 1 second. What I told my son-in-law, what I told my daughter, you will not be losing your wife and your sister today. And her husband repeated back to me, said, no, I will not be losing her today. And not only that, she's going to come back 100%. And I said, yes, 100%. Now, what kind of people say things like that? I wasn't born this way. My first response was to hit the ground, but God picked me right up. Drove right with us. And I kid you not, in joy and peace walked right in. And it did not matter what negative thing we heard. We didn't even have to push it away. It just had no effect on us. The following morning, within 12 hours' time, Heather was not only responsive, 12 hours, but the brain stem damage disappeared 100%. And not only that, the neurosurgeon said it didn't heal. He specified, it didn't heal. It's just gone. Picture here with it, picture here without it. 12 hours. And I think she woke up within a day or two, looked at her husband, said, hey, baby. And when they did the surgery on her on the first day, she died on that operating table too. She died twice that morning. And I'm not talking about a 30-second, you know, flat line. 8 minutes. 8 minutes in an emergency operating room is an eternity. Just shy of permanent brain damage forever. And revived. And all the bad news came. She's not going to be able to use her hand. She's not going to be able to see. She's not going to be able to hear. She might lose her hand. She won't be breathing on her own. And everything they said within 24 hours, she defied it and did it. To the point where the surgeons and nurses, we're going to stop telling you people what she can't do because she defies us in every step of the way. She pulled her own breathing tube out. She pulled everything out. And the morning we had heard that she had been healed, and even the they called her the miracle girl in bed number 5. The morning, and this is very, very important, and this is what I want to bring to you. And this is why I said I don't want to be lost in the details. This is for you. And I hope you accept it. And if you think I'm nuts or you're new here or brought a friend, just say, you know, he's not the regular guy, the other guy. He won't be here next week. But when I heard that news, and it was early in the morning, it woke us up that her brain injury had not only healed, it just disappeared. I cried and rejoiced, and I had this moment of, I don't know how to explain it. There's so much of this I don't know how to explain. But the Lord's face was right in front of me. And what he was saying to me when he had that little open door of space in my life for him to say something that I could accept. What he said was, why would you have thought otherwise? Why would you have thought for a millisecond that I wasn't going to do this? And I held on to that and have held on to it ever since. In the coming days, in the hospital, it would take me a month to tell you the number of things that had happened. Heather was not the only person healed. The other people in the beds next to her saw, their family saw that we were having success, so they ran over to her husband who stayed at the hospital and said, would you pray for our friend or our mother or our sister or our brother? He prayed for 20 people, 18 of whom got up and left that hospital. There was a woman next to her bed, 3 months in a non-responsive coma, 3 months. They were going to pull her plugs tomorrow. They went up to her husband, would you pray for her? He prayed for her. She woke up in the morning. She was in perfect health. And she went home in 2 weeks' time. We wheeled Heather's bed into another room, young woman. She had had a terrible, terrible stroke for somebody who was 30 years old. She was behind her screen. She didn't know us. We didn't know her. We didn't even know she was there. We wheeled Heather's bed in, and what did she do? She sat up and said, "God just came in the room." Those were her words. God just came in the room. And on and on and on this went. One after the other after the other. I could not begin to tell you the number of miracles that occurred. And as I said before, and I can't see the clock, and somebody, Michael, you're going to have to tell me when I'm close to... See, at my age, without glasses, that clock doesn't mean anything. And Michael had asked me, what did you get out of this in the end? Because we're taking this story out. We are going to churches. This ministry, this is a ministry, and it's not just about Heather. God called me in the ministry when I was 17 years old. I was a senior pastor of a church in Connecticut for a few years and did quite a few things. And then I had a bit of a tragedy myself when I was about 30 years old. And veered out wherever. About 10 or 15 years ago, the Lord called me back, and here I am. Kind of a plan B. You know, there are plan Bs. It's a good thing. Did you know King David was a plan B? He was. King David was not God's first choice. Saul was. And you can read it yourself. When Saul made a mistake and took a position he shouldn't have taken, a prophet came to him and said, God is going to take you off of this throne, which he would have had forever. That was God's will. So thank God there's a plan B. And I bring that up because this was not intended to happen. This didn't happen to teach us a lesson. I see it the other way around. It happened because it happened. Bad things happen. But all things work together for the good to them that love God. God will take anything and turn it right around. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people already have been touched by this story. Already. This is the first official engagement we've had with the church. And I'm honored to be here. I hope you're having a good time. I hope you're taking this in. Are you having a good time? You're quiet people. I'm used to some noise here, so it's all right. I'm glad. But what we took away from it was love. The verse that I used here, it says, there is no fear in love. And it's true. And if you believe something good, you're going to be mighty happy about it. If somebody came to you and said for sure, I'm going to give you a check for $100,000, you'd be pretty happy, and it'd be pretty hard to hold you down. And you know, say, he would, yeah, that's great. He would be, oh man, this is. And when you believe something that God has shared with you, that's good, it's going to make you very, very happy inside. And I have to admit, in spite of the tragedy that we went through, I don't think we as a family, we as a people, we as a couple, me as a Christian, have experienced more joy than ever before. It was exciting to see what God was doing. And I'm sorry it was at Heather's expense. But she says herself at this point, she's happy that it happened. She's one of the happiest people I know. And it was God's love that was revealed through this whole thing. And if I could get one thing out to you today that you could take away. See, this is for you. I'm here for you. The Lord's walking. There's two or three of us in here that believe in God, or what am I? All right, so that means that the Lord is right here in the midst of us. He really is. I mean, and that's a real thing. This isn't kind of, this is not academic. We could not approach this academically. This is life. This is love. And God actually loves you much, much more than you probably know. And I don't mind saying it that way, because I don't say it in a condemning fashion. I had no idea how much. I thought God didn't really like me very much. In all honesty, with my background, that's where it left me. That's where religion can lead a person. But this isn't about religion. You would never have a marriage or a great relationship that was just good on paper. It has to be from the heart. And this is what happened. And because our hearts were so open and had to be open to God, we had no choice. He was able to show us in these moments of tragedy that he wasn't afraid. God was not afraid of this situation. You know that we prayed almost straight through this thing for about a month, maybe even 2 months, without any tiring. I don't know that we slept, and if we slept, it was an hour here, an hour there. I was up 2 or 3 hours every night at 2, 3, 4 in the morning. Never tired. And another minister friend of ours, he said he did the same thing. He said he's never experienced anything like that in his life. He's never seen anything like this in his life. So if I can share that with you, that God loves you so much. And if you have a request of him, especially in regards to your health, you don't need to bend God's arm. You don't need to call the Baptist prayer line and say, you know, get 10 more people on this because God's not listening. And he's listening. He already knows. He's provided. I know a young girl, she was dying. I know of a young girl, she was dying. Young teenager. She loved God with all of her heart. And she caught wind of the idea that she didn't have to plead with God for her healing. That it was the other way around. That it had already been provided for her. And she said she had a very deep vision of the Lord himself. And she said she saw his, what they call, stripes. The Bible says, by his stripes you are healed. You were healed. And she said it really wasn't that way. She said it was a big open wound, his whole back. And as I did a little study on that scripture, the word stripes, when Peter says, by his stripes you were healed, it's actually a singular word, by his stripe. But when Jesus was what they call flogged, I think that's the right word. Am I saying that right, Michael? That's when you were healed. According to scripture, that is when you were healed. You were. And we don't need to have the attitude, oh Lord, please. God doesn't need his arm to be bent. It's the other way around. And it's not always easy. I would not want to come off to say, oh, this is just, we don't think like this. It takes some time and takes some digging into the Word of God. It takes some renewing of the mind, as Paul says. And that's what Lisa and I did for 2 years prior to Heather. And Heather was doing it. She was focused on healing. We were being trained to think different, to see different. But I will say, God took over where we of ourselves could not. He did. So this is the idea. This is the message that God is love. And when fear comes your way, when something terrible comes, God is not afraid. And in turn, you don't need to be afraid either. And there is a decisive moment. We've seen it happen, and it breaks my heart. Something happens. Somebody gets bad news. They go to a doctor, and you've got blah, 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 blah. And at that moment, because it's happened to me, you've got two choices. Maybe you have more, I don't know, but I think you have two big choices. Embrace it, or say that package isn't mine and walk away from it. With Heather, that was a package we're not going to take delivery on. All that bad news. And we didn't. And I can't answer every case and everything. I can't give you all the absolutes. I don't have the answers. I only know what happened with us, and it's why we're here to share that with you. And I'm hoping that someone, several someones, will hold these words, hold this experience, hold these promises in your heart for yourselves. This is for you. Take a step, even if it's one step up higher, and realize you have a great deal of privilege in the Lord. In your NIV Bibles, I think you use the NIV, and I'm going to close pretty soon. I think it's Isaiah 33, and it's the last verse, and I love the NIV for this one because I think it's they said it best. No one in Zion shall say, I am ill. And I think most people tend to take that as, well, yeah, when I'm in heaven, nobody will be. But it's not what the referral is, because it's just, then it says, and those who live there, their sins shall be forgiven. And as far as I know, I think when we're in heaven, there won't be anybody sinning. So that was a reference to right here. And John says, and he was 100 years old-ish when he said it, as he is, so are we in this world. You have an abundant life to live here, not just in heaven. And I thank God for salvation. Don't get me wrong. The forgiveness of sins is probably the greatest miracle we have. But the Lord is most assuredly wanting to give you a wonderful life as you walk it out here on earth as well. He loves you. He loves you so abundantly. I could not begin, if that's all I could say today, is he loves you abundantly. He wishes to embrace you, love you, hold you. And that should be pretty exciting for you. I would think it would be pretty exciting. I don't know. Am I getting through to anyone here? You are a quiet bunch. Does anybody feel sometimes that the Lord does not love you, or that maybe he's a little angry with you, or maybe he doesn't like you very much? You can answer that for yourself. You don't need to. If so, drop the thought. God loves you to the point where he gave you his son. That's how much God the Father loved you. He gave you his son. And in a sense, turned his back on his own son. For your sake, for my sake. And not to make you feel guilty. It was to give you life. To take away the anger, to take away all those things. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. None. And you can walk that walk every day. And if you're struggling with a sickness, if you're struggling with a problem, there's no condemnation in that either. But grab hold of the idea that maybe there's more for me. And it's not a selfish thing. If you walk that out, you'll be helping somebody else. Look at what we're able to say. Heather, do you want to say two or three words, or would you want, if nothing else, to say hello? Or... This is my daughter, Heather. So, do you want to say a couple of words?
I guess the only awesome thing about this whole situation is like that I just feel God's love more than I've ever felt. I have nothing else to say when I pray to him. Just thanking him all the time. He's so awesome, you know? And I didn't feel that before. I used to be kind of sad and feel like God was little angry with me, just like you. I don't know why. Anytime I made a mistake or did anything, I felt like just sad about it, and but now I just finally understand how, I mean, I don't know how much, but I understand better just how much God loves me, and it just makes me feel happy about everything in life. Yeah. That's all I gotta say.
And I am going to close, but she said something that brought back a memory with all of this. When she woke up on the first day that she was conscious enough to talk, I saw in her face, what did I do to make this happen? What did I do to bring God's anger on me? She did it 3 or 4 times with me. I was the only person she shared that with. And in each time, with absolute surety, I said nothing. You did nothing to bring this upon yourself. And I hope you receive that kind of love. You with us on that? You receiving God's love? God bless you so much for listening. Thank you.